Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics 495.
What's up with Daddy Ure?
Mike showed up. Brother. Mike's here, and I just don't want to deal with it.
I have a special guest. You should be nice to me.
Yeah. You made me read Aquaman Green Arrows, issue 3 and 4.
Did you listen to the episode?
And no. Didn't even bother showing up. Yeah.
I haven't had time.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
Was
whatever.
It a good episode?
It was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, all episodes are fantastic.
The review of those horrific books was, I thought, spot on.
And to both our listeners out there, if there's not new special music in front of this, it's Colin's fault. Plus, I really want to watch him get sued for copyright infringement.
So no, not if you. I only do it for 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. We just have to comment on it. Yeah, that law school education paid off. All these years later.
Fair use. Plus, the other thing is I'm not selling it.
Yeah. That's true. We're definitely not making any money on this.
We're not making any money on this. It's free for all listeners. It's not on a Substack. It's, you know.
But we don't know how many listeners we have.
It's not Patreon. Correct. No, I have no idea how to see. And I've looked at the numbers, and it's like it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, because it's like 3. We know that's way too high.
It's way too high.
The one location's in McMurray.
No, I know one listener because I get
questions.
I get commentary while he's listening to it. So, you know, comments like, "No, they're wrong about this," and that kind of thing. So.
Lord Retail.
That would be Lord Retail. Yes.
Jermaine needs to chill.
Jermaine needs to chill. Yeah.
Or Colin needs to fact check. I mean,
well, I can't fact check something I haven't read or know nothing about. Normally, it's stuff I have no clue about.
Oh, you don't know how the internet works? Okay, let me explain.
You want me to live fact check you while you're talking?
Yeah.
Instead of watching the hockey game,
this is a high quality show, Colin. This is high quality.
Either that, or you got to take the other position and know, well, my opinion's right, and it's the only possible way to be right.
I assume you guys
you
know what you're talking about.
Facts.
Why,
yeah.
Why would
they
you
say
assume
about
anything?
So
like
you know
that.
What they say about assuming, right?
Dave might be closest to being right.
You guys are on record.
But
you
Dave
know,
is a professional journalist. He
that's
knows
true.
That,
that is
he's
true.
He's a professional where we are not.
No, I'm definitely not a professional. Yeah.
In any way, sense, or shape, or form of anything. Yeah.
That's true.
Uh-oh, what did I get a message? Okay.
I thought Rex was growling.
So, hey, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat. Spencer.
Mike.
Jonathan.
Special guest, very quiet Jonathan.
You can move in closer. Colin doesn't bite.
He's scared.
He might grab your leg because he's freaking
I
like
will
that.
Not.
Not on the first podcast, though.
No. I have a mini rant. Two mini rants. Ooh.
Yeah, one of them's about me.
No. Any news? Anybody see any news?
Just the thing that we were talking about before.
The rant, yes.
Yeah.
Annoying. I don't remember any other news. This might have been a while ago. Steve Wacker, formerly of Marvel, formerly of DC, he was the editor in charge of 52. And then he went to Marvel and did a whole bunch of stuff. And he was somewhere up in Marvel, like in the corporate structure, I think something like with Animated or something. He just left to be editor-in-chief at some new publishing venture, probably a Substack venture. It's like 3M, 3W, or 3 Moons, 3 somethings, but...
Heart, stars, green clovers.
Something, yeah.
Well, the Doctor Strange
trailer dropped.
Was
yeah.
It Super Bowl?
I watched it on my phone.
No, you need to watch
you
it.
You got
to
watch it.
Big
yeah.
screen.
Yeah.
Did you see what in the middle? Mm-hmm. The Illuminati and the voice?
No, I must have missed that part.
Yeah. It's Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that's clear.
That's clearly Patrick Stewart.
So they're tying in Star Trek?
Yes.
Into Doctor... That, yeah. Now that's something. Wow.
So
I did not see that coming.
So he's walking into the room, and if you look in the background, there's chairs sitting there.
Yeah.
So there's...
Yeah, on my phone.
Data
Kirk.
Josh is going to come back and kick your ass.
He's still around, man. Yeah, Josh. Wait, so Star Trek, so that's the Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. Okay,
that's right.
Got it.
The Cylons.
Okay, cool, cool.
And then they alluded that you'll get beat up for that. The villain, or she said that.
I saw her in the thing.
No.
With no accent, though. So now I'm really confused.
Yeah, but they
it's multiverse.
They've been doing that back and forth. No, what she said is, how come when I mess with reality, I'm the villain, and you do it, you're the hero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
my guess is Reed Richards is going to show up somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, I did see the DC one, which was pretty awesome, with Hawkman and Dr. Fate. That was cool. I'm not sure what all that was and how many movies those were clips from, but that little blurb, I was very excited about those two.
Batman, Aquaman,
Flash.
Flash and Black Adam, I think.
Yeah.
The Flash didn't even actually look kind of cool.
Well,
just the actor in
that. Affleck's supposed to be in that.
Yeah, I think that's like his last
it's
Batman.
It's his last Batman thing, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know when that comes out.
5 years ago.
Yeah. Is it film? The Flash?
Yeah, I think it's about
I think it was one of those things where they had filmed it, it had finished filming right when COVID hit, and then they never did reshoots or something like that, and we got to hold off until, you know, because Wonder Woman 84 didn't do anything.
That was bad.
Yeah, right. It had nothing to do with the fact that it was a horrible movie.
New Batman looks good, though.
It looks brutal. Like, I really want to say it, but it looks absolute. Like, this is not a kid's movie.
It's like 3 hours long. This is going to be a punch in the face.
He's basically solving a crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've got Penguin and Riddler, and you know what Riddler's doing. He's a serial killer. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Catwoman.
Catwoman for extra fun.
That's what I'm interested in, is how that Riddler's going to be. Because it's very nothing like any kind of Riddler that, you know, they've ever really kind of seen, like.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of, though, is the animated version of Hush. Because in the animated version of Hush, Hush wasn't Hush.
Yeah.
Hush was the Riddler.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking, is they're going that route.
I heard that the Riddler in the new Batman movie is based off the Zodiac Killer.
I can say, oh, it kind of okay. has oh, really? That. It kind of has that.
Ted Cruz?
That kind of feel.
Well, that would actually be kind of cool, because everything they're showing, he's like leaving little clips and like, you know, clues and stuff like that.
He goes to Cancun after every killing.
That'd be good. He's got a new Batmobile. It looks like a car, not like an actual...
Like a
not a Humvee.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a tank.
I'm not really a fan of it.
You not?
No.
Get out.
I do like it has it keeps with having the flame tail thing. You can't have a Batmobile without having that.
Does it have a red phone?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Andy Serkis is Alfred. That's really cool. And the one guy is...
Jeffrey Wright.
Gordon.
Is,
he looks awesome.
Yeah.
They have never had a bad Alfred.
No, they haven't. No. Even in Batman 66, they had a great Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the animated series,
yep.
every movie.
Yeah.
They've always cast Alfred really good.
Have you guys ever watched Pennyworth? I've not seen it.
No,
I watched the first couple. It was good. It was enjoyable.
I think it's on HBO Max now.
Yeah.
Even Gotham had a decent...
Yeah.
Gotham was really cool. He was a complete badass.
Well, that was pretty much Earth One.
Yeah. And the guy that played him, Pertwee, was really, really good.
And we also got a new Moon Knight trailer. Or like an extended look of a Moon Knight. And then, I guess, Empire Magazine had published pictures of him in the Mr. Knight costume.
Really?
Yeah.
So we do have a question, Zach. Oh, she was asleep and you woke her up.
I just tried to pet her.
Not cool, man.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Not cool. It's okay, honey. He didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. I'm so sorry.
Nice to know she still has the reflexes, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she almost took your face off.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
Zach asked if I followed the kerfuffle about Greg Smallwood and Lecter. Did we talk about that last week?
I think passing by.
Okay.
I don't remember, did we?
I don't think we did.
Well, you wasn't here.
So Greg Smallwood tweeted, look at the poor thing. She looks like she's abused now. She's in her Blair Witch pose. That's why I say when she does that, it's like in the corner, staring in the corner. Please don't let it hurt. Greg Smallwood tweeted that Marvel had asked him to edit his some of his art in the new Elektra issue coming out next week, actually.
Why?
Because he had, it was Elektra in Japan, and he had drawn Japanese people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't
were
like...
the eyes just too...
They like... didn't like how he drew the eyes, and he was busy, I think, having a kid, or his wife was having a kid or something, or he was just... And he finally did the edits, but they had decided to do it themselves, and it was not good, and he posted the side-by-side things. And then the editor responded, but it was like a non-apology. It's like, sorry, our emails crossed, but, you know, I responded to you, blah, blah, blah. And it definitely sounds like Mr. Smallwood will not be working for Marvel anytime soon. And he asked if I had paid attention to it, and I responded yes, because my favorite part of the entire thing was... Erica Henderson, who is Asian, and she responded back that you'd think a Japanese man, with a Japanese man as editor-in-chief, this wouldn't happen. Because, of course, their editor, C.B. Cebulski, went by the name
pseudonym
of Akira
Yoshida,
to get work. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of, I enjoyed that very
much. They did that to Kirby when he went to DC.
Oh, yeah.
They did it. They took his Superman and completely let someone else draw Superman.
Yeah, was it Wayne Boring, I think, who drew
all
that?
They didn't like the way Kirby had drawn Superman. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a white guy criticizing it.
Right, right. Yeah. Not,
which is different than Yoshida, who is as white as I am.
So they just didn't like the way it was drawn? Or
it was too Asian.
The hell does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. But they whitened up the eyes. But yeah,
that's funny.
Okay, I'll keep talking. I'll find this for you.
The PC police are out of control.
Yeah, it was weird.
But is it the PC police or is it? Oh wait, you can't make him look that Asian.
He's Asian, right?
What? No.
He's John. Asian characters.
So I had two rants.
Are you kidding
Mini
me?
Mini rants, yeah. One was about terminology, because I'm having fun with... we have a new customer who is a comic reseller. And
they jacked his artwork.
Yeah, and that's in his profile, you know, his online profile.
Comic reseller.
And he started a subscription and keeps... ordering things on Tuesday that come out Wednesday. So I just wanted to go over a little bit about terminology, which I don't have a problem with people doing that. But when they want something that I no longer can get because all my copies have gone, he then responds, but I pre-ordered it. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about terminology. And pre-ordering is something that happens before I put in my orders, hence a pre-order.
So and the absolute latest would be 3 weeks.
That typically is about 3 weeks before the book ships. Basically, what he was putting in is a request, and those get filled first come, first served. But I just found it really funny when, well, I pre-ordered it. It's like, that wasn't a pre-order.
That's the kind of customer you can fire.
Yeah. So it was just, it was a little annoying, but it just made me like, I think I need to talk about terminology.
I think you've had this discussion on occasion.
Yeah. So the other thing that put me in a stinky mood today, which is funny because Captain Blue Hen came up and spent the night Saturday night on his travels, and I was in a great mood. Everything was good. And talking to him, he's like, can we get Saturday Colin back? Happy Colin back? I'm like, maybe someday. But today, George Perez went into hospice care. So, you know, things aren't going well, and there was something about an infection, and that's what they were working on. But they also announced that the Hero Initiative is spearheading a new edition of JLA versus Avengers that they're publishing, adding a bunch of stuff to, and putting out there, which is great. That's been out of print since I've been open. It's a book lots of people want to read. Lots of people haven't read. They're, you know, can't get them. But unfortunately, they decided to limit the print run to 7,000 copies. Now, I don't know why that was done. I don't want to speculate, but it was the print run was set at 7,000 copies, which as soon as I saw, I went, awesome. So that means each store is going to get one or two copies. And this is something people want. A, to help George, they want to get it. You know, to help benefit him because he's getting the proceeds. There's demand for the book because people just want to read it. And I'm seeing the DC head of publicity and one of their senior editors talking about contacting your stores and get an order in for it. And I'm like, why are you setting us up to fail? Because if I'm only getting one or two copies, you telling people to contact me to pre-order it, those are gone. I had those two copies were gone within 10 minutes of the announcement. You know, I was contacted by people who wanted it immediately. So you've set us up to fail that we can't meet demand. We can't even attempt to meet demand.
Who's praying this?
I don't know.
Amalgam.
Amalgam.
Who?
Amalgam.
Where is that?
When Marvel and DC did their joint universe, it was the Amalgam Universe. But I had a customer come in my first year open, asked me if I had any Amalgam books. And I just looked at him like, what? Wow. Amalgam books? So since then, I've called them Amalgam books.
So you might not know who's printing this, but I'm guessing it's one of the companies that's taking
it. Well, it's either Marvel or DC. Yeah, one of them's printing it. So I don't know why they're limiting it to 7,000 copies, but that's just...
Because they don't want to help George that much?
That's my thing. If you printed it, you'd sell a whole lot. And the problem is now, those 7,000 copies, of course, because something's limited, who wants it? You know, all those wonderful customers who don't actually read and just want something that
and
can...
And you're going to go to a speculator market and...
Oh, that's what it... That's the only people
and
that...
If that speculator market flips it... None of that money goes to George,
right?
In that case,
right. But that's the problem. Is that's most of the people looking for it right now are those people, and it's frustrating. And like I said, I don't like being able to tell people I'll put you on the list. You know, I have 8 people on the list right now for the one or two copies I get, and if I get them, even you know, I have no idea. I don't know how the allocation's going to work.
So, I don't know, maybe this is. Considered messed up, whatever. Can you auction it off and then take the proceeds and donate that to George?
I could, but then I'm still going to have those people who are going to be mad that ordered it.
No. Well, yeah, but you only got one copy.
Right.
You're auctioning it. The highest bidder wins.
But I asked for it. I ordered it. Why didn't you give it to me?
Didn't
you know, I
all
understand, but I'm just... Yeah, but it's, again, it's... I have enough on my plate. I don't need to add in more onto my plate.
Well,
you know, that's
that,
all.
But this, yeah. is,
you
know, this is like an extraordinary.
It
cost.
Is, but why not set a print run of 50,000 copies?
Well, that'd be too easy.
You know, why 7,000 copies?
Or just say, hey, we're going to reprint this. You have 2 weeks to get your books in, and whatever
yeah.
is ordered.
But it's just,
that's
it's just, you know, it just reminds me of that the where's the furthest place from here record thing where they ended up making it one per store. And it's like, sending me one of anything is just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's no benefit to me and just tons of negative. It's lose-lose for me. You know, it's a $30 trade that's going to cause me endless grief. So just frustrating and aggravating. So that's all I had to rant about. Anybody have anything else? Mike?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
So our
no, you can't do that.
No,
oh,
our
sorry.
Special guest, Jonathan, is really into horror comics.
Talk to Tim.
I did.
Okay.
And we got Basket Full of Heads. Does anybody
you mean
here,
the book, not like a literal basket
correct.
Full of
Heads.
Okay.
Does anybody here
that's
have any the recommendations? The one that you read, Dave.
Ice Cream Man.
Ice Cream Man.
That's my recommendation.
Hotel.
That's from AWA.
Yeah.
Okay. You have any, Spencer?
I'm trying to think of horror books.
I thought was Plunge, the other one by Joe.
Yeah, that was good.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Give your mama a hug for me.
Take your thingies with you.
Hey, now.
Ooh.
Oh.
He always takes that with him. Okay?
So, okay. But the one that Pat mentioned from AWA, they're really, really good. They're like 4 issues, Pat? 5 issues?
I think this one's 5. The first one was 4. This volume's 5.
Yeah. Gideon Falls. That's like a weird horror, science fiction,
fantasy kind
of thing. That would be a good one to check out. And it just ended, so it's a complete...
Yeah. He's reading Lock and Key now, right? How many of you got read?
I'm on the fourth one.
Fourth read. He has House of Slaughter. He started.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Something's Killing the Children. You can get that for Christmas. So yeah.
Oh, Nailbiter.
Oh yeah, I recommend it. Remember I was telling you about that one? Yeah. So that's another good one too. So thank you. I'm done.
See, it's just another service we provide around here.
Which he could find all those books.
Hey, what would you do in your car?
I said before, we're all whores. I just don't have to be a cheap one.
Oh no, not at all.
I don't think that was about my whore comment.
It was not. No, we had a good day, and it was not looking good. It was a weird week of books too. Like, we only got, like, half of our DC because the truck was late getting to Lunar for them to reship it to us. So, sorry, there's a car parked outside with their lights on, and it's super annoying because it's just shining right in my face. It's like, who are you, and why are you sitting outside my car with your lights on? I kept thinking they were going to come in, but then, you know, the light and the open sign was on and everything. But, yeah, just being blinded is fun. Sorry, what was I saying? I don't remember. Should I rewind?
No.
I
think we answered Mike's question.
There we go.
Some of Pat Dune services in his car.
That's right, yeah, exactly. Mike.
What?
Since you read 2 books... I'm sorry, you read 3 books and
I read
talk
more
about
than that,
two?
But I'm only going to talk about 3.
Those are the only ones he can remember.
Fair enough.
That's true.
You know,
it happens when you get up in age.
It does, but when you're as old as Mike.
No respect. None whatsoever.
Yeah, you're right. We should respect our elders.
Yes, damn right. So, Devil's Reign number 4. So, this is continuing with Fisk wiping out or taking superheroes off the table in New York. So it was kind of interesting that he's walking around with the purple cane, which somehow has power of the purple.
Yeah, that I didn't get. Now, granted, I haven't read the last batch of Daredevil.
Yeah, but the purple man didn't need a cane, though, to...
No. Yeah, so I don't... And where is the purple man sitting? Is he in the cane? I couldn't figure that out.
Maybe
it's... Because he's sitting in, like, a little diamond.
Dr. Octopus did some kind of...
Underhanded thing.
Well, Kingpin instructed him, you know, to harness the Purple Man's power somehow.
But he's doing it for himself, though, which is kind of what you would expect Dr. Octopus to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he's in it for his superior four now. Yeah.
So Daredevil / Matt Murdock goes and visits Foggy in the hospital, who just got the living tar beat out of him. And Foggy didn't seem like he was all that happy to see him.
Foggy got beat up because of known Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
So
Foggy's mad lots of times to see Matt.
Yeah, that's kind of like just what happens.
Yeah. And then Mike?
Yeah.
Is that Murdoch's real brother?
No.
No, okay.
He's like...
I read that annual, and he like created out of...
This was in Daredevil in the regular series, but one of the Inhumans like made Mike Murdock a real person.
Oh, okay.
Right, because it used to be that was his fake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So then you have Rhino trying to gather up some superheroes, and Rhino seems like he's a good guy, so to speak.
Yeah.
And he tells everybody to put on the badge so the drones the octopus built,
yeah,
that is spying on everybody to see, yeah, and they won't touch you if you have one of the badges on. So they all put the badge. It was Nova.
Yeah, they're the champions.
The champions and everything.
And Miles.
Yeah. And they seem to get away with that. So then we have Kingpin talking to Typhoid, and she's like, she wants to go beat some people up for him and stuff, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. He knows something. He knows there's something missing. And then towards the end, he has the cane with the purple little gem on it, and
he brings back some of Typhoid Mary's memories for
her. Yes, her memories come back, and he's like, "Whoa, what's going on?"
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kind of rushes to the rooftop and goes up to the rooftop, and he's like, and the last panel's like, "Mad Murdock," and you know he remembers now.
Yeah, and it says he's born again.
Yeah, and which plays off an old series of Daredevil. It was called Born Again.
Yeah, that was a great last page. Though. Yeah,
I really liked it. It's been really good.
Yeah, me too.
How many issues is it supposed to be? Is it 5 or 6?
7, I think.
Oh, 7?
Don't you have a copy of it and can look at it?
Yeah. Does it say?
I think it says
it says 4 or 6.
There you go, 6.
All right, my bad.
But when it gets to 7 or 6, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah. The Fourth Man, number 2.
Read that?
AWA. This book is just so cool. So it starts off with they show a dead dude in the morgue with multiple stab wounds.
Yeah.
And then they do a little flashback, and they show this guy talking to, who does he look like? Giamatti?
Yeah.
Who does the guy, who's the dead guy look like to you?
He looked like a skinny version of the guy.
Did you read this, Colin?
No, I didn't read this one yet.
Was it Eastbound and Down?
Oh, Danny.
Yeah.
McBride.
Danny McBride.
Yeah.
That's who he looked like, was a skinnier version of him.
Did he have a mullet or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're meeting in the bar, and the Giamatti character, looking character, is telling him he wants to take out the one auto guy, and he's planning to take him out on a hit. He's like, I'll do it on my time. I'll do this. I'll get it taken care of. And then he goes and meets with this big fat guy, Chucky, and he wants Chucky's help. So the plan is to go with Chucky and murder the other auto guy. Well, lo and behold, somebody beats the heck out of the mullet guy. We don't know who he really is, but what does he say to him, Pat?
Well, Chucky talked.
Yeah, he turned on him and he gave him up.
Yeah.
So they clearly know what was going down. And is this the second guy that was been murdered?
Yeah, this is the second, and there's still a third body in the morgue.
So, at this point, we have no clue who's doing it, who's killing these guys.
And the cops were kind of like, that's not related.
Yeah.
But obviously it is.
Oh, it's clearly related, yeah. The other one I will talk about, and Jonathan read as well, so he can chime in as well, is Batgirl's number 3. So, what did you think, Jonathan?
I enjoyed it. I think the main villain, I think, it has something to do with Scarecrow.
Yeah. He uses, what was his name again? I can't remember.
Was that Tudor?
Tudor. And he has a low version of fear gas, and he's using it to steal people's property and things like that, and the Batgirls kind of are like trying to go after him and stop him. But the thing I didn't understand, I thought was kind of funny, they clearly encounter the guy that has gas, and they're going to go back after him again, and he has gas. Neither one of the Batgirls have a gas mask on, and they get affected by him again.
Eh.
So, yeah, those things happen.
Yeah.
It's very un-bat person-like. Not have
very unprepared bat person.
I was kind of confused at the very last page, because it looked like whenever Dick Grayson was all tied up, it looked like he was smiling, like it was laughing gas instead of fear gas.
Yeah. So towards the end, Barbara Gordon gets a call from who she thinks is Dick. And he's like, oh, I miss you, honey, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden she changes like to voice to a female, and it's the Seer. and saying, like, I'm manipulating you, you have no idea what I'm doing. And these images, like Jonathan was talking about, is Dick, he's pretty much tied up, bloody, and whatever. And she's like, well, that's not real. You're like, you don't know if this is real. So the end is the seer is basically playing with Barbara again, you know, and she has no idea where Dick is, if he's okay or not or anything like that. So I'm really enjoying the series. I like the art. It's very fun. It just made me laugh.
Is the art different than it was in the preview?
No, I know you didn't like it.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It's like a cross between animation and cartoon style for me, and I kind of dig it, but yeah, it's Batgirl, so I'm fun.
And it's just, it was so much of a turnoff, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, so that's all I got.
I'll go your way.
Okay.
Amazing Spider-Man?
What?
Amazing Spider-Man?
Actually, I only read half of that issue. I didn't get around to finishing it because it was one of the Beyond issues, and it dealt with no Spidey characters at all. So I still plan on finishing it. I just didn't get it done before before coming up here. So
it's one of like a Spider-Man books with no Spider-Man.
Yeah. It dealt with what were those characters that whenever Spider-Man went one of those different
the Slingers.
The Slingers, but like there's different what's his name? The Prowler is one of them now. So it's just like, I don't know, it must have been something I missed in a miniseries or something. But I'll talk about 7 Secrets.
Yeah. This absolutely feels like it's wrapping up.
You'd think, right? If not soon, it can't have too much longer. I mean, there's not too many characters left.
Right.
What issue was this? It was like 14?
14, I think. It was 13 or 14.
Did he say how long it's supposed to go for?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't heard anything. But
I also don't remember reading anything in preview saying final issue. But it's headed that way.
Because I think even in the newest previews, I think there's an issue, a newer issue coming out, so...
Of course, Kirkman also solicited issues past the end of Walking Dead, so...
Yeah. In this issue,
it starts with Casper and
he's having a nightmare, right?
Yeah. And he wakes up and, Ava, who is his mother, and she was shot. They're in Buckingham Palace because the Queen had brought her there for medical treatment. And he had, jumped out of the plane in the last issue and then came back into the plane because he can fly.
Yeah, he can fly now.
And that's something... I'm not going to say that the book itself is grounded, because it isn't. But it kind of is... And so, he's the only one that seems to have superpowers, and that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know if it has something to do with, since he grew up in that other dimension.
Yeah.
If that did something to him. Because he's just a normal kid, because he was born from the secret holder, you know. So it's not like they had powers or anything to pass down.
No, and none of that's been explained. Why he was special, or, we had, two issues where he was in that other dimension, and they, they didn't explain anything.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, take it.
I feel like when this series does end, that there will be a lot of, I don't think everything will be wrapped up. I don't think, because even now we still don't know, all of the secrets.
And we don't really know any of the secrets.
We just we got the one that can do the portal into the other dimension, gateway thing, and then the one that wipes out
the
cities.
Right.
What happened to Atlantis. I don't expect this one of this series to be over to know all the secrets, you know. Because he might not even know all the secrets.
Or it may be he dies and one of the secrets brings him back, and then the the thing just continues to go.
That's what I was thinking too, because even in the previous issue that we didn't talk about that issue because it was damaged and it got late. That issue opened up with his head being cut off of his body. So, well, so anyways, when they're in the Buckingham Palace, they get a call from some of the other holders and seekers at this lighthouse to where when they finally show up there, it's being attacked. And like everybody's just getting shot and stabbed and stuff like that. So I said, like you were saying, it's interesting to see like how many more issues it has left. But then Batman Urban Legends, the first story that dealt with Batman and Zatanna, who every few years they have to keep on going to this town. Because years ago they did this ritual, and they haven't yet told you for like why they did it, but when they did it, it caused like it kind of I think it like makes like a in fabric of time, because I think like creatures and more magic and stuff. So like every couple years they have to go back and they have to redo the ritual, and like each time it's becoming harder and harder to do. And then this time they almost didn't, they almost wasn't able to complete it. And like, in the last issue they show like, all like the major kind of like magical characters in the DC universe kind of like, nodging, like feeling like this power. So once they, finally close the portal, they go back to like this church that, that Batman owns, that he bought, and he originally planned to like rebuild it up and stuff like that, but never got around to it. So they were going there to hide out and like, you know, clean their wounds and things like that. And like an alarm goes off, and Batman goes to attack, and it's John Constantine is there, and he, you know, to try to help with their you know, with the magic problem, which should lead to like an interesting like love kind of triangle, because Batman and Zatanna kind of have a thing, and Zatanna and John Constantine kind of have a thing, and even with the way that they've been writing Constantine lately, him and Batman might even have a, you know, have a thing. And then like the two middle stories were again like kind of okay. The last story was the Mark Russell of Super Pets story. So in the last issue, Ace, he gets like kidnapped after Batman is, you know, gets blown up, and so he's with this other with these other like super animals. One's like used to be like this train bear who was like who was a bouncer at like a Russian bar, but now is very like timid from being tortured and stuff all the time. There's this chicken that they put a electric implant into its brain so it can play chess, and has like these little like robotic like wheels chicken. and like that's like rubbish. little metal like hands it can use. There's a turtle that they like build its speed up. There's a squirrel that can steal things and stuff like that. I forget the name of the dog, but they trained it to be Lex Luthor's pet, and it's like this ruthless like killing dog, but he was allergic to it, so he got rid of it. Because, you know, that's how bad of a guy Luther is. So they have them all caged up, and then, like, after all the humans leave, Ace is, like, his cage is, like, up on, like, a table, so he bangs the side of the cage until it falls off of the table, and, you know, starts to bend, and he tears at the bottom of it to and escapes, and he's trying to get the bear out, but he can't hit the electric pad because of his paw. It's too big, it won't. So he goes and gets the chicken. who's able to use its like little robotic hands to release the bear. And then earlier in the issue, the Squirrel stole like the swipe card for them to be able to leave. But as they're leaving, you know, the alarm goes off. And so them and oh, so there's the total that's like a super fast total that they're fighting their way out of, you know, through the guards and escape this little thing, like where they were being held. And as this is going on, it switches in and out from Batman being tortured, and you know, he's just wanting to know where Ace is at. And stuff like that. It's a pretty, pretty interesting story. And then the Justice League Annual was basically just the lead up to the Justice League and Legion of Heroes like crossover event, like miniseries. I think that they're already doing. But it was like an okay. It had, you know, dealt with time, like time travel and messing with time. But the art in it was really good. I really enjoyed the art in it. And then the last thing I'll talk about is Radiant Black. So this issue of Radiant Black, we get kind of the origin story of the younger girl, the pink one who of the like the group super. Are you still reading Radiant Black?
No,
you dropped it. So like I said, it's the origin of her. So she is like a blogger and like YouTuber streamer girl, as she's doing one of her shows, she drops like her microphone and it's all busted up. So she goes to like a Best Buy to try to either buy a new one, or there's this guy there, this older guy there, who said he could fix it, but he'd have to do it after his shift. So she goes and tries to see what her girlfriend's doing. And they get into an argument because she has like she's studying for like a real job, and so they get into an argument, and she goes back to the Best Buy, and the old gentleman there that works there, he is the yellow radiant guy who we've seen in previous issues, and he's the one who introduces her to the pink of the radiance that gives her powers, and like it shows her how she starts to like teleport and just stuff like that. Like I said, it's just kind of like a origin of that character in this universe. Because in the previous ones we did the red variant or the red radiant. I think she's getting her miniseries actually coming up soon. But anything else I read? I think you guys read, so I'll let you guys talk about them.
Moon Knight.
Yep.
So that was a Devil's Reign tie-in because Moon Knight wasn't in it, except for like a couple panels where it showed him getting taken out by the Thunderbolts.
Yeah, it's like it was because he has a Devil Reigns miniseries.
Okay.
And then I think that is happening, and we're getting this other.
Well, in Devil's Reigns, they're escaping jail with Sue Storm and Reed Richards, and he's got his head wrapped up, and he's got the red moon on it.
Okay.
He's escaping. But Moon Knight's not in the issue at all?
No, it's this, the
Doctor
Knight. Yeah, no, it, yeah. But what does he call himself? He looks, pretty much he looks like Moon Knight, but he's not Moon Knight. He's like Dr. Moon or something like that.
He's another fist of Khonshu.
Yeah. But he embraces his role much more.
Yes.
But it's funny because like he's fighting, and Khonshu just comes up behind him, and he's like, you know, I'm here, my son.
Yeah.
It's like it's completely different than with Moon Knight. So having not read the Devil's Reign, it was a bit confusing to me. But it wasn't...
I just assumed he was off doing something in that story, and that's why this guy was, like, holding down the fort, kind of.
Yeah. The problem is, he's just not crazy.
Like, yeah. If he is crazy, he's not...
He holds it together better.
Yeah, he's not the Mock Spectre kind of, like, off-the-hinge kind of crazy. He's more of, like, a quiet, like, sociopath that, you know... That would kill you kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Other than covering your face off with a...
Right, exactly. With a moon-shaped knife. Yeah. That's how I like my crazy people, cutting people's faces off.
Face off.
But yeah, the issue is fine. It's just, you know, I like a little more Moon Knight, my Moon Knight comics. And the other one I'll talk about is Batman Catwoman number 10. Is anybody else reading that?
I'm behind. I'm always like I read like the last issue when the new issue comes out. I've just been behind on it. Okay. I haven't been enjoying it really. Like I don't get any like I want to like you know what I mean?
And you know the art in it's beautiful, but I can't tell what the hell's going on. So yeah. It's like. It's clearly there's two different timelines in the past. One, and in both of them, Catwoman is just beating the hell out of the Joker.
Well, it's also then, like, best friends with the Joker. Like, it's, like, this is weird, like...
Yeah.
It's almost like a weird, like, romance
yeah,
kind
flirty
of...
flirty kind yeah. of thing. And then in the third time period is in what would be the present after Bruce is dead and after she's killed... The Joker, in which Helena, who is the new Batman or Batwoman, is trying to take her out, and it's clear that Selina's keeping some secret about Bruce from Helena.
Yeah.
And just when I thought she was going to reveal what the secret is. It ends the issue. And this is 10 to 12.
Every other month.
Yes.
Is this a two-year comic for real?
It's been going on for a while. It's issue 10 now.
And this is supposed to, you know, wrap up his whole Batman run, be the last, like, Batman thing.
But now
thing
he's doing another.
Yeah, he's doing, like, now, granted, I don't think it has anything to do with this, but it's just kind of like.
Oh, wow.
That's why, like, I'm at the point where, like, most Tom King stuff, I just trade weight on it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has not knocked it out of the park the last couple times. Where's the Tom King that wrote Mr. Miracle?
Yeah. Though, do you guys see that the, I like I said, I'm trade waiting, but the, what's the, Human Target is supposed to be pretty good.
It is. I'm enjoying the Human Target.
And I've heard that Supergirl book is pretty good, too. Again, I was
that's
just,
ending soon, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was only like an 8-issue. Yeah.
So that's what I read.
Are you still behind on Detective?
I'm a couple issues behind on that, so I didn't read it. I think I'm too behind. I should catch up this week, though.
They've been good, so it shouldn't be like a drag to try to,
okay.
You know.
Okay, Avengers, number 53. This is continuing the multiversal Masters of Evil storyline. And we had the attack. Well, previous issue, there was the attack in Asgard. And this issue takes place at Avengers Mountain with Doctor Doom, the two Masters of Evil, Doctor Doom, who's a Sorcerer Supreme, and Kid Thanos, are attacking Avengers Mountain. And inside Avengers Mountain are Black Panther, one of the Deathlocks, Namor, and Valkyrie. So they have their fight. Namor and Kid Thanos are hitting each other, and Doctor Doom goes after Valkyrie, and he uses his magic to bring back Jane Foster's cancer.
Which is
very disturbing. But that's what Jason Aaron writes. And what happened next? Avengers Mountain is going out in flames. I can't remember what happens next. Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm shocked they're blurring together.
I know. Well,
I mean, Mike remembers half of what he reads.
I remember half of what I do.
It's all good. Okay, I got it. So Black
you
Panther.
Don't remember how to get home. That's why.
So the end of this, Black Panther. He's charging himself up with the Celestial, and he becomes the Red Panther.
And so first appearance, Red Panther.
The first appearance, Red Panther.
And who is the Red Panther?
He has like this. He has this red suit with this anti-magic protocols. So he could take.
So he can
on,
easily take on Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
And brilliant.
As Avengers Mountain, the last page is Avengers Mountain going down in flames. So it looks like this is the end of Avengers Mountain.
Oh no!
And hopefully they move back into the mansion.
That's crazy.
What about Avengers condos?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what they need?
Try condos.
They need like this spaceship orbiting. Call it.
Wait a minute, doesn't another superhero group have that?
I'm trying to come up with a good name.
Legion?
The Watchtower?
Watch?
Yeah, that might be good. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
It's never been done before, has it?
Or no. A mansion.
Yeah, mansion would be nice.
Yeah. Change things up.
Yeah,
the mansion showed up in Devil's Reign. That was...
That's right, it did.
Is that thing... Even like, is it like boarded up somewhere?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Bylines and blood.
In the pile. I missed it.
Did you read that, Mike? What did you think?
I didn't like it. It kind of like was.
Yeah.
It lost the magic of the first issue.
It
just felt like. It just felt like they were trying to add too many different, like, little weird. Like the one thing with the eye or whatever that thing was. You know, remember what I'm talking about?
Those drones kind of
thing. Yeah. Where'd that come from? And I kind of understood where she was fighting, like, those invisible people.
Yeah.
And then they were checking the security cameras, and it looked like she was just fighting herself and stuff like that. But it didn't seem like it amounted to much of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. She starts, like, this guy in this, like, chameleon suit.
Yeah.
Attacks her, and in the first issue, that was, they had... She's investigating
her mentor's
murder, and so they think she thinks it's the same person, and she goes to the Gulch, which is where all the rich people lived before the plague, and now it's been taken over by protesters. And she meets the guy, like you're talking about, the truthers in this cult, the truthers, and they kind of want. The same thing, to bring down this mayor who's had all this power. So she he gives her you know, ability to get into the mayor's having the Save Our City gala, and she gets there, and who's there? Her parents.
Yeah, who she doesn't really get along with anymore.
Yeah. So
it was like, and for $4.99,
yeah,
for I don't want to go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you.
I thought Aftershock only did $4.99 books for the first issue, Colin.
It depends. They seem to have been changing that up.
Would they go more expensive for the first issue?
Yeah, because it's got a cardstock cover. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
this one had cardstock too. It was $4.99, but I just went for $4.99. I'm done. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Now I'm going to talk about an Archie book, because I haven't talked about an Archie book in so long.
Has
there been any more Scrooge books?
There's one.
No.
What's up with that?
And I got to keep up my reputation. But last week it was the Archie Love and Heartbreak.
Is it a Valentine's
special
one?
For Valentine's Day?
Yeah, of course.
It wasn't like Vampirella, was it?
Well, it's very similar.
Was it? Okay.
Very similar. Lots of skin.
I was reading it.
Blood.
I thought it was Vampirella for a second.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you bought both. Did you put one inside the other so you could read it and nobody would... I see what you did.
You got it.
Learned that in school.
But this is drawn in the more realistic way than the regular Archie style. But it's in the anthology stories. It takes place at the Riverdale Carnival. So they're matching up characters who then aren't together too often. The first story is the Bughead story. Betty and Jughead.
They're together.
They're kind of on a date, but Jughead, he keeps saying, we're not on a date. And we don't know what this is, but this isn't a date. Yeah, he keeps saying that.
And he was hungry. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Jughead tells, throughout the story, Jughead tells Betty about his three rules for success in life, which basically revolve around not making any money and not spending any money.
And eating, maybe? No?
Well, and eating, you know, he was nice to Pop, so Pop gave him free hamburgers in return. So he didn't have to make money, and he got like he didn't have to spend money to get hamburgers.
That's his pre-attack noise.
Yeah.
Then there was a story about
Rex is snoring under Mike's chair, and he's like, he's making
a
noise.
It sounds like my chair was squeaking for a minute there. My bad.
He couldn't figure out what the noise was.
Then there's a story about they're at the carnival. Veronica goes on a date with Dilton Doiley, and Archie kind of challenges her. You couldn't go on a date with like him and have fun. And she did end up having fun, even though Dilton, you know, threw up on the Ferris wheel.
It happens.
But it was a nice story. It's not like, oh, let's make fun of the Dilton. He's the nerd, you know. It was kind of a sweet story. And then there was a story about Kevin Keller on a blind date, which was nice. And basically, I just want to get on my little soapbox here and say to the new editor-in-chief of Archie Comics, let's put out an Archie regular series. It's been like 3 years.
So let's get an Archie specials, and that's it.
So let's get a we once had Mark Waid on Archie and Zdarsky on Jughead. Let's get back to those. I'll get down now. Thank you.
Calm down, Dave. You're like an 11. We need you like a 3.
Hang on, Dave. I'm gonna send you something here.
I'm panning like Rex. That's all I got.
Trembling like Marley.
Hang on, I'm sending Dave something. So you can tag him in a tweet.
You can tag him in a tweet, Dave?
Mm-hmm. No. No, so that Dave can send and tag the editor-in-chief of Archie Comics.
Oh, that's it, yes.
Who I know personally.
Colin's got the hookup with
that. I do. Here we go. Let's go.
But that way, just you can say, Dear Archie, and tag him.
Okay.
So I read 4 more books. We'll start with the least. Secret X-Men. Anybody read that?
Nope.
They've losing me on the X-Men. Yeah, so Deathbird shows up. And the new empress of the Shi'ar Empire is in danger, so she recruits Roberto Sunspot to come help. And so he has to recruit his team, which is basically X-Factor, and because they all lost the election, but they wanted it. So he recruits them to go out, and then as he gets them together, Sam's girlfriend, who is Smasher, who is part of the Shi'ar Empire, and Gladiator come up saying they need to hunt down Deathbird because she's kidnapped the Empress. So it's a long, complicated thing where they're going to find him, and then they walk through a gate, but some bad guys were following them, but the bad guys couldn't have followed them through the gate because they're not mutants. And they finally find her, and then the Empress has to wipe their minds of ever this ever happening. And now they're all a team working for the Empress, but they don't realize it. So they're her secret X-Men. Yeah, it was not good. Land of the Living Gods. This is a new one from Aftershock. A little weird. Takes place in Johannesburg, like post-apocalyptic, of course, because everything is. And this girl, she has this plant that she can talk to and it moves and it gives her leaves and flowers, like it's medicine, and she's trying to help her mom who's sick, and she has to go out and scrounge stuff, and she goes to get it. She needs a new battery for something, so she takes some of the petals to this guy and trades them for the battery. And all of a sudden, the guy does a reading for her, and as he's doing it, all of a sudden he has this other voice telling this girl, like somebody takes him over, like the spirit, and tells her that, you know, she needs to fulfill her destiny, and she has to go tell the gods to come save them. They'll listen, and she gets home, and her mom's dead, so now she buries her, and she takes the plant, and she's going off looking for the gods. So, and then she gets attacked by these, like a gang of guys, and this other girl saves her, and then captures her to take her to the witches. So, what is that face for?
Are you almost done? Are you almost done?
Yeah.
I want to go home.
So, it was okay. Not great. Justice League Annual. Now, this was... This was weird. Oh, did you? Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. But it's a...
Oh, snap!
I was reading some stuff. But... It was a prequel to the Justice League versus Legion book. Yeah, made no sense.
And didn't the Hesnes series already came out?
Yeah, it's already come out. Yeah, so it's a prequel to a book that's already come out. It was really dumb.
I just like the art in it.
The art was okay.
It's very stylized.
When is this event going on?
Just Justice League. Something is happening now in the Justice League time and in the future. 3,000 years from now, during the Legion's time. Okay. And it all involves a Gold Lantern. So when you read that book, you're like, Gold Lantern? What's a Gold Lantern? Oh, well, the Gold Lantern is introduced a month later in this book. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Spencer.
That's okay.
You were probably talking about something else. I just kind of tuned out. But then the last book I read, hope you didn't talk about this one.
We talked about it.
It was really good. The King of Spies, number 3. This book is really good. And it's only 4 issues. I will be pushing this one when the trade comes out. It's outstanding. It's basically James Bond has inoperable cancer. He's dying, probably from smoking cigarettes. And he realizes that he put a lot of bad people in positions of power to do really bad things, because that's what the government tasked him with. And he decides to undo it all and expose them and, in many cases, take them out. He takes out George W. Bush at one point. In this one, he takes out the Pope. He kidnaps the Pope and takes him out into the woods. And there are families of people whose significant others and children have been abused by priests, and just leaves him there.
I say, it's a Miller book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Mark Miller book.
But does it go with any of that?
I read this too, Colin.
Oh, did you? I mean, I know the Pope.
I somehow got past the first few pages, it's really graphic.
But it was they crucified the Pope. Well, what was left of him. But overall, it was just outstanding. His son is the main one that's tracking him because he hates his dad. Because his dad cheated on his mom and was never around. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with mom painting all those pictures.
Yeah, I don't know.
See where that goes. But then there are these twins or brother and sister, who are assassins that he kind of... In the last issue, it showed, like, in a little flashback in the beginning, the brother, I'm guessing he blew him up or something, and it's like the brother, his legs were blown off, and the sister, her arms were blown off. So now she basically wears her brother as a backpack, so he's the arms and she's the legs. Very, very interesting visual, though. And they caught up with him, and they're fighting. Just action stuff going on, and he's taking down businessmen and politicians and basically anybody that he put into power that didn't deserve it.
He's, and in the end, he's running away, trying to get away from everyone, from the people, and he's having a seizure.
Yeah.
at the same
time. And he blacks out at the end. This is Image. Yeah, this is Image, one of the Netflix books. But
it's nuts.
There's a lot going on, and it's, you know, it definitely is not one of those stretched out books where nothing happens. It's boom, boom, boom. Yeah. It's been very, very good, very enjoyable. So that's all I got. That's all I read. Tim had a little family emergency, so I was running the counter today. So normally on Wednesday I get some reading done, but didn't happen.
Tell us what's coming on next week.
And I was bad. So hang on before we get to that. Thank you, Pat.
See.
I know, I wasn't done. I've got this great plan now on Mondays where I kind of seclude myself so that... What?
Here's a question. I'll wait till you're done.
Okay. But I used to sit and kind of waste most of my day flipping channels and stuff on my day off, and now I go up and I just read, and it's great. But this time I read a book. A book with no pictures.
That's just
it was really good. It was a book. Yeah, it was, and it was wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of it. It was good. Hey, okay, yes, sir.
I just had a question, like, for everybody.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
Not you, Spencer.
Who is your favorite hero or villain in Marvel or DC?
Mine's okay.
Wait, no, let me guess, Mike. Let me guess. Wildcat.
Giant Man?
Actually, no, he's not.
Yellow Jacket?
Anna?
No.
Wow. You're not telling.
Not doing it.
Marvel's probably Ant-Man. DC would be definitely Batman.
Not the Atom?
No. Shut up. No, they're all small, but for Marvel,
Dollman,
Daredevil's up there too. But villain is Doctor Doom.
That's fine. Marvel hero would be Spider-Man.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? DC hero would probably be Nightwing. Villains, I don't know. Villains always kind of vary on depending on like the story and where they're at the moment, because I think like that what's being done with certain villains.
What's your favorite Spider-Man villain?
I mean, what?
Spot.
Oh yeah, Spot.
The Spot? A Ditko villain? Oh.
He's like a polka dot.
The polka dot thing. Yeah. Oh my god.
Where he can reach through dimensions. Oh, yeah. Oh, he was just fun. I enjoyed him.
I don't know, because, I always like Mysterio. I always like Mysterio for some reason.
I do too. Just because the look.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fishbowl head, and it works.
And it works, yeah.
For DC, I'd say probably Batman. Marvel. The one I like to read the most is probably The Punisher, but that's because it doesn't really touch anything else. And the Mac stuff was great, but if I could be one, it would be Spider-Man.
That's cool.
I don't know if I could pick one Marvel hero, because the Fantastic Four is my favorite.
You could take the whole team. We'll give you that.
Thank you.
We'll take the whole team.
Yeah, we don't want to get them all mad again. You can have the whole team, Dave.
I don't want you raging, Dave.
Because that was one of the first books I started buying before you were born and reading.
I used to get Fantastic Four with no covers for 10 cents from the store across from my grandmother's. Yeah. And that's where I found Kirby, Dr. Doom, and all those guys.
When I started reading John Byrne, John Byrne was doing it, and I just loved it. Yeah. And my favorite DC hero, I think, is Animal Man.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a good one,
Because my favorite, if it's not my favorite of all time, it's in the top three of my favorite series of all time, is Grant Morrison's The Animal Man.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool.
Did you still read it when it went into, like, the Vertigo stuff? Because if you think you could get stranger than Morrison, like, it somehow gets even, like, stranger
Peter Milligan took over after Grant Morrison.
It becomes, like, this weird, like, beast creature.
It became too weird for me, but I love the, what Grant Morrison did on that. It was just incredible.
That's good.
It holds up.
Okay, I can't really come up with a favorite Daredevil villain. Yeah, Marvel, it would definitely be Daredevil. With a close second of Spider-Man. Spider-Man was always my favorite. But yeah, I can't really think of a favorite villain other than like Bullseye for Daredevil, because he was just, you know, always thwarting him. DC, I have two weird ones. One, I have a team.
No, you didn't hear the Monkey Prince.
I heard
story.
A little bit about it. Yeah. It was delightful.
It's a banner week.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
But one that I fell into these guys early and just love them and have just a deep affinity for them is the Metal Men.
Yeah.
See, I thought you were going to go Doom Patrol.
No, I do like Doom Patrol, but Doom Patrol, I really haven't totally dug into. It was an old Blue Ribbon Digest that I was just fascinated by. But I have the omnibuses now, so I will read more Doom Patrol. Buy. So I have the Morrison one, I have the Bronze Age one, and I have the Silver Age one. So I think I'm going to fully Doom Patrol myself. But after the Metal Men, from the $3 for $1 box where I was getting my books as a kid. But the other one is Dead Man. I fell into, it must have been a Brave and the Bold issue, and just, I sought those out. I have all of them, all the old Strange Adventures. And then, of course, you know, lovely in the, I think it was the 80s, they got a miniseries that I didn't realize at the time was drawn by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. So it's like, man, so first you have Neil Adams and then Lopez. That's a character that's been given some love. But I just, he was always so fat because he was so unlike any other character.
Yeah.
And it was just so intriguing, especially those great Brave and the Bolds with Batman, where he's going in Batman and stuff. I just always found him just a fascinating character that was so different from, you know, anybody, especially when you grew up reading Superman and stuff,
yeah.
Superboy and things. All of a sudden, this was a character. Yeah. So I still remember at my the show I did after my dad died, when I got my Daredevil number one, I also got Strange Adventures 205, which is his first appearance. So that was a good show. I also got Giant Size X-Men number one. I did.
Wow. So what are your picks, Jonathan?
Favorite hero out of both is Deadpool. Yeah. I mean, he's controversial because he can be a villain or a hero.
He's kind of like Punisher. He's kind of like an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So if you like Deadpool, you need to go and read Daniel Way's run.
He has back issues, and I think Daniel Way's part of them and stuff, yeah.
He, because he spun him out of his Wolverine and Wolverine Origins run, and, like, it's a nice big chunk of run, and it was the last run that I, like, really enjoyed of reading of the character before, yeah, he kind of got a little too goofy for my taste.
But, I forget it reused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But favorite character, like, of all time is Joker.
Yeah. He's my favorite DC villain.
I think we're having a problem right now. It's just a little over. We're getting too much Joker.
Too much Batman world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Batman has, yeah, like...
Just because
that's okay. They're killing him off, so we're gonna have a respite from all Batman books for a while.
Yeah, sure. That would single-handedly sink your store.
One character I like to say with, like, Colin's kind of, like, offbeat cat. I always like...
Buona Beast.
Metamorpho.
Yeah.
I always Metamorpho for some reason. Don't know why. He's just... I don't know if it's, like, the look of him, and he was always, like, kind of, like, the funny guy, and I was always a fan of The Outsiders, too.
That's
where
the first time I saw him was in The Outsiders.
Okay, somehow, in that box of books I got, there was, like, one issue from his 60s run. It was just one of those you're reading going...
Yeah.
What is this? Yeah, it was bizarre. Okay, ask your question again, Pat.
Colin, what's coming out next week?
Books. It's a healthy week. This week was a little thin, but next week is a good one. DC, apparently, the shipment from the printer to Lunar got there late, so a lot of stuff didn't get out.
Can't buy this stuff.
We're also having fun where... If we ordered 30 trades from this list of Batman books, we can get a standee with the movie Robert Pattinson Batman attached to it.
Sparkly Batman?
But here's the fun thing, right? Is that the movie comes out on March 4th. We're getting the standee on April 22nd, which is to time with when the movie appears on HBO Max. I'm like, Oh, yeah, because they're going to be pushing that like crazy and driving people into the stores. Of course, they didn't announce that until after we'd ordered the maybe books.
Just wasn't it also like a problem? Like, it wasn't they not big enough to fit the books?
Well, apparently it is, which is going to be funny only because, so the big, apparently it can hold the big oversized hardcover, you know, the magazine-sized hardcover, so it's going to look kind of really silly with the regular size trades in there.
I got a question for
you. Yes, sir.
How many times are you going to stick your dog in the same bear trap?
Well,
this happens every time with DC.
It does.
So I guess it doesn't hurt to have like a cool...
Right, so we're going to have kinda, the neat standee, yeah. And it's Batman books I need. I mean, some of the ones are Batman and Scooby-Doo Mysteries, Batman Death and the Family, Batman Damned, Batman Dark Victory, Batman Ego and Other Tales, Batman Hush, Batman the Imposter, that hasn't even come out yet. Batman Long Halloween Deluxe Edition, Batman Who Laughs, Batman Three Jokers, Batman Year One. You know, stuff I need.
Yeah, a lot of
that. But still, I didn't need an extra 30 copies combined, not of each title. But,
yeah, yeah.
But
so
it was
not
still.
Getting the stand?
Oh, we're getting it in April.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, in time for it to, when it goes on HBO.
Is it guaranteed to be there in April?
No.
Well, no, maybe you'll have it for Batman Day.
In September, yeah. But I just want to see if it's in the store in Barnes & Noble on March 4th. That'll be interesting. But, okay, next week, the greatest book in the history of books ships next week. Mike.
Part number five?
Aquaman, Green Arrow, Deep Target, number five.
How about Monkey Thing?
So that my eyes can...
Listen to last week's episode, because I don't think we can get him to go through those last two episodes again.
I will. I'm committed now to read Aquaman, Green Arrow. I ain't reading Monkey Man 2. Okay? Not happening. After he gets beheaded at the end of issue 1, I'm not going back for more. We have Aquaman. Well, it's spinning out of Aquaman the Becoming and Black Manta that didn't sell. Yay. We have DC versus Vampires 5 that has been fantastic.
How do you cut zero pre-orders in half?
Yeah. Yeah, DC versus Vampire has been very good. Yeah. We have Detective 1054, and the missing copies of 1052 are showing up. I enjoyed this one. Hardware Season 1, number 4 is out of 6. But Milestone has always had a hard time selling. It's never sold really well. So we ordered this in September, and it's finally shipping in end of February. Gosh, I wonder why it's not selling well.
That's probably a lot to do.
You've had a little bit of a gap and people forgot it existed. We have Human Target 5. Booyah. That's not it, but then lots of other books. From Marvel, you're not going to believe this, Spencer. Amazing Spider-Man number 90.
Maybe he'll be in this issue.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the last one, a Beyond.
But even sometimes it's still at least you get Spider-Adjacent characters.
Spider-Adjacent.
Carnage Forever, number 1, which is a celebration of his 30th anniversary, which made me feel really old. Wow. We have Dark Ages, number 5. I need to get caught up on that. Elektra, Black, White, and Blood, so you can see some modified Greg Smallwood art. Ghost Rider number 1. I know everybody's excited, but I'm kind of excited because it's a return of it's a return of Johnny Blaze.
And Aaron's is right in it.
I think
Benjamin Percy.
Yeah. I enjoyed this. We have Phoenix Song Echo number 5. I just found it funny because I just ordered the trade. And I'm like, oh, I assumed issue 5 had already come out. Silly me. Silver Surfer Rebirth number 2. I really liked number 1 on that one. And then the Deaths of Wolverine 3. I didn't read The Lives of Wolverine 3. That book is hurting my head. I don't know what's going on.
Sounds like a lot of the X-Books are hurting.
Yeah. I hope they relaunch. Oh, wait, they are. Okay, and from the rest, we have All New Firefly number 1.
Is that like...
Well, we had Firefly, then we had Firefly or the New Verse, and now we have All New Firefly.
Okay.
We have Berserker, the next issue of that, which was supposed to come out in December. I love this one, Chamber of Terror, that was... I ordered in July. I'm guessing that should have been a Halloween book. Emo Girl, that's one's for Pat.
I am an emo girl. I mean, yes.
I know. Dave.
I'm also a Barbie girl.
Are you excited?
Barbie World.
Oh, yes.
Joy Operations number 4. I got to finish that now. You know, I'm
you guys just
three-fifths of the way
that,
in
is
it.
Is that Bendis?
Yeah, that's Bendis' talking
Bendis.
Head
it's
book.
It's Bendis, all right.
Oh, yeah, that was something else I wanted to talk about with that. I'm sorry I tuned out. That Justice League annual?
Yeah.
It was just... that. The dialogue was so awful, especially with Plastic Man. It was just... oh, it was just... I'm yelling, shut up, at a comic book. It was... oh.
You guys should have stopped counting the F-bombs for each.
Yeah, okay, I will. I'll keep track. Killer Affairs of State. There was Archaea did this book called Killer, which was a French book about an assassin, and this is a new one of that. New previews next week, which means previews orders due next week. Get your orders in.
I sent mine in.
Radio Apocalypse 2 that I ordered last March.
And number 2 is just now coming out?
Yeah.
What? Wow, whole year between issues.
Well, no, I just ordered number 2 last month. Oh, okay. We have Saga number 56, so that's good. Snow Angels. This is a new one. It's from Dark Horse. I want to say it's Lemire. But I got signature plates for it, so which was kind of fun because those came last week. I'm like, when's this book come? Step by Bloody Step is a new one from Vault and Cy Spurrier. Supermassive is a one-shot. I think it's tying in with the Radiant Black universe. And Transformer Wars End, because they're ending wars. That's it, but it's a big week from everybody. Lots of stuff coming from all the publishers. And, you know, those are just the ones. Then all the regular stuff is coming out. So good stuff. She is sound asleep.
She is.
Good job, Mar. So that's what we got going on. Previews orders are due. Saga. It's not next. Yeah, it's next week. Book club's next week. Read your books.
Next Friday.
Next Friday. What else we got? Image Comics Month in honor of their 30th anniversary. And I think that's all I got. Long day. Just I'm not used to running the counter all day on a Wednesday. Your game's paused, Mike.
It's still going.
Okay. So I think that's all we got. Mike, since you're here.
And that's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.